Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 18 May, 2025, Romans.
A few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are studying the doctrine of divine guidance. We were in point two, definition, and we noted in the first class that divine guidance is the doctrine of knowing the will of God for your life, related to both specific and to general things. There is the short-term will of God, which means what does God want me to do today? And there's the long-term will of God, which means what does God want me to do with my life? Divine guidance is the communication of God's will through the God-breathed Scriptures, the Word of God. The will of God for the believer is found in every command, every imperative mood, and every prohibition in the Word of God. So, we studied that in 3 points, and now we're at point four. Point four, before the completion of the canon of Scripture, God's will was sometimes revealed in other ways. For example, direct communication from God in dreams, visions, dialogues. He had special angels, teaching angels. But after the canon of Scripture was completed, God no longer uses these systems. So I don't know what kind of dream you had last night, but that has nothing to do with God telling you what His will is. Probably telling you don't eat so much pizza. That's about it. Point five. You cannot know the will of God today apart from learning and believing the Word of God, having it here in your heart. Now there's a term for that in the Greek. Epignosis. Epignosis. Now, there are two words that are related. First of all, there is gnosis. Gnosis. That's the word for knowledge. But epignosis means full knowledge, complete knowledge. And as you find a sound Bible teaching church and you consistently and faithfully assemble and you learn the Word of God, you believe the Word of God, now you have a full knowledge of what the Word of God says, full knowledge of the will of God, complete knowledge of the will of God. And that's the word epignosis. That's what God wants us all to get to that point. You cannot know the will of God today apart from developing a full, complete knowledge of the Word of God in your heart. Sixth, the will of God is not only made known to the believer by the direct statement of Scripture, but there is also another way of knowing the will of God, and this is very limited, but God does use it, and that's divine discipline. The will of God is not only made known to the believer by the direct statement of Scripture, but sometimes God tells you His will by divine discipline. Seven, divine discipline is a warning signal from God that the believer is not in the will of God. Divine discipline is a warning signal from God that the believer is not in the will of God. So it has a very important function, but it's very limited. It just tells you what the will of God is not. Okay? But that's important. Eight, divine guidance through divine discipline is limited to the negative aspect of the will of God. Divine discipline can only correct. Divine discipline is God saying, no, you are not in my will. And therefore, divine discipline is limited to warning you, telling you what is not the will of God. The very fact that God makes His will known to the church age believer indicates the importance of knowing the Word of God. The sovereignty of God and the free will of man coexist in human history to resolve the prehistoric angelic conflict. And since they coexist in human history, God intends for us to know and to do His will, God's will, plan, and purpose for our life. Point nine, the volition of the believer can respond positively or react negatively to the will of God. You have a free will. And your volition, your free will can respond. That's positive volition. Or you can react, negative volition, to the will of God. Ten, it is not the will of God for any believer to crash and burn. That's not His will, plan, and purpose for your life. He wants to bless you. The moment of your salvation, you were entered into union with Jesus Christ. You're in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. You are royal family of God. And He wants to bless you right out of the chute. Gun go off from salvation. The rest of your life in time and for all eternity. It's not the will of God for any believer to crash and burn. So, point three, the will of God is reduced to its utmost simplicity in 1 John 3:23. 1 John 3:23. You can turn over to 1 John 3:23. And there are two mandates in this verse. The first mandate is for the whole human race. And the second mandate is for all those who believe in Jesus Christ. So this kind of reduces the will of God to its utmost simplicity. 1 John 3:23. And this is His mandate. First of all, this is for the whole human race, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the mandate. There's the will of God for the whole human race. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what He would love to see. He would love to see everyone believe in Jesus Christ. But we have a free will. A free will to believe in Jesus Christ. A free will to reject Jesus Christ. A free will to assemble in a sound Bible teaching church. A free will not to assemble in a sound Bible teaching church. A free will to believe the Word of God. A free will to reject the Word of God. We have a free will. So the first mandate is for the whole human race, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. The second mandate is for all of those who believe in Christ and love one another just as He commanded us. Love one another, that's impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind, the good, the bad, the ugly. Impersonal love for all mankind. That's His mandate. That's the will of God. Point four, we're going to look at scriptures on divine guidance in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Scripture on divine guidance and the will of God. So let's turn over, start first of all, Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. There's the will of God. I will counsel you and watch over you. The way that you should go. That's divine guidance. And again, it's teaching and learning and believing the Word of God. Turn over to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 11. Isaiah 58, 11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, let's start at verse 1. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands, my mandates in your heart, for they will prolong life many years and bring you prosperity. Let grace and truth never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will acquire grace and a good name in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Divine guidance. And then turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. It starts out with a prohibition. So this is a prohibition. This is a negative, what God does not want you to do. Stop being conformed to this cosmos, the world, Satan's cosmic system. Stop being conformed to this world. Now here's the will of God, what He does want you to do. Keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that's what you made a decision to assemble in Upland Bible Church this morning. You made that decision to see what God had for you from His Word. Now, it would be great if at the moment we believe in Christ, we already knew everything there was to know about the Word of God. But we don't. In fact, at that moment we believe in Christ, we have so much garbage in our thinking. It has to be renewed. Your thinking has to be renewed. The garbage has to be hauled out. The Word of God has to be brought in. And that's renewing. And every time you assemble in that Bible teaching church and learn the Word of God, the garbage is hauled out and the truth of the Word of God, renewing of your mind. And that renewing of your mind goes from salvation till physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first. You will never stop. I know, I've heard a few, I've arrived. I've arrived. There's nothing more that you can teach me. I know everything that there is. Oh, And what is your first name? God? It isn't. Okay. So stop being conformed to this world, but keep on being transformed in the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. We're going to start at verse 14. For this reason, the Scripture says, awake, sleeper. Nobody's sleeping in church this morning. Awake, sleeper, and that's the believer who is out of fellowship with God. And arise from the dead, that's carnal death. You're out of fellowship with God, carnal death. And Christ will shine on you. We get back into fellowship with God, see. Verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk, live your life, not as unwise, not as believers that have no metabolized doctrine in their heart, but as wise. You have a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. And when you learn and believe the Word of God and get a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, that's when you have wisdom. Wisdom means you can skillfully and accurately apply the Word of God to your life in any situation, in any circumstance. God wants you to have wisdom so that you can skillfully and accurately apply the Word of God to any situation in your life. So then, therefore, be careful how you walk, how you live your life. Not as those who have no wisdom, but as those who have wisdom, maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. and redeem the time. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, stop being, well, my NASV says foolish. Stupid would be a good translation there too. But understand what the will of the Lord is. And then here's two parts of the will of God. A prohibition followed by a mandate. Prohibition. Stop being drunk with wine. Now, is it sin to drink a glass of wine? No. There was a wedding celebration. Jesus Christ was there. They ran out of wine at the wedding celebration. So his mother came and said, they don't have any more wine. And then, so Jesus said, bring me some big pots full of water. And then he turned the water into wine. The sommelier of the wedding celebration came to the groom and said, whoa! I've done a lot of weddings, but usually they give the best wine first, and then when they've had too much to drink and they don't even know what they're drinking, then they give them the bad wine. He said, you saved the best wine for last. Well, it was a miracle that Jesus Christ, he turned the water into wine. Not grape juice. He turned the water into wine. It's not a sin to drink a glass of wine. But if you drink it so you're drunk, that's a sin. That's a prohibition. You're not supposed to do that. So here's the prohibition. Stop getting drunk with wine. It's the drunk. That's a good wordle word right there, see. And that leads to dissipation. But here is the positive mandate. Keep on being filled. Keep on being empowered with the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. And then turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with. Now that word knowledge in the Greek text is epinosis, a completed knowledge, a full knowledge of His will, of the will of God, by means of all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is a mandate that you would be filled with the completed knowledge, the full knowledge of God's will. But how? By means of all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For you, all of you believers in Jesus Christ, you have a need for perseverance. Perseverance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And that's the crowns and rewards that God has for the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. God has the most fantastic, greater grace blessings for all eternity that will be awarded by our Lord Jesus Christ at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ. And I hope all of you, I hope every single one of you are there at the judgment seat of Christ, standing with as a winner believer, that has done, fulfilled God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And God has crowns and rewards that will be given to you there. And those crowns and rewards will glorify God for all eternity. All right. Well, that's the first 4 points. Come back next week, get point five. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.